remind you, we need to have a short Sunday school teachers meeting soon as service is over. All Sunday school teachers and assistants. Need you to meet right up here in the choir. If you'll run right up here right quick, we won't hold you long. And then we need to meet with a few other ones of you. I think, Brother Robert, we need to see you a minute, if you don't mind, after service. And I don't know who all else. Maybe Brother Ken there, Brother Ken Griffin. And then another meeting, some other folks. We're trying to get some things ready for next Sunday. And so keep that in mind, if you will, with us just a few minutes after church. John chapter 6. I want to bring you just a brief message this evening. John 6. And look at verse number 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. We'll not be long tonight. I want you to pray for us and that the Lord might have to say something to help you. I'm very tired physically. We've been going real hard all weekend. But you know, the Lord always seems to help me. One time I was sick as a dog. I thought I was about to throw up, really, in bad shape. And I was in Hickory. And I thought the Lord wanted me to preach. And I preached in front of Sky City down there at the shopping center. And when I started preaching, I got well. I mean, I never felt better in my life. I thought, well, glory to God, the Lord's healed me. Man, I just preaching up a storm and everything. And as soon as I got through preaching, I got sick as a dog again. If I'd have known that, I'd have kept on. But it seemed like it always gives you enough grace. One time I was preaching down at the trade lot, and the sky was black, and it looked like it was going to come a gully washer. And I felt like I ought to preach, and I started preaching. And I said, oh, Lord, it's a thundering up there and everything, just about ready to down. And I preached and preached, and soon as I said amen, closed my Bible, it just went, drowned the whole crowd. And it's amazing how the Lord does little old things like that. But that stuff really happened. I remember one time preaching out of the van. We was somewhere, and boy, we was up preaching, and boy, we were talking about Noah and the flood, and about that time a big crack of lightning come and thunder, and boy, that'll make people perk up and listen. Lord adding sound effects back behind the sermon. And God takes note when we're down here standing for Him. He's interested in what's going on here tonight. He's more interested in what goes on here tonight than He is out in a political meeting somewhere. God's interest is in His church. God's concern in His church tonight. God's business is being carried out through local churches in this world. Now I want to preach a simple message with a great truth tonight. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Somebody wrote a song, had that title here a while back. I thought it was a good title for a message. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Don't care what it is. He's right for whatever's wrong in your life. Look at John 6, 35. Excuse me. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now the Lord didn't, of course, mean literal hunger and literal thirst there. He meant that, He said, I'm the bread of life. If a man hungers for life, if he comes to me, he'll never hunger for life anymore. He's got it. If a man thirsts for the eternal life, if he comes to me, he'll never have to thirst for eternal life again. He's got it when he comes to me. He said, whatever's wrong in your life, I'm right for. Now, I've found out that whatever you need, He is. There's an empty spot on the inside of everyone. That's why not many people are content. We've got more in America tonight than any generation has ever had materially and physically. We've got more money in the bank. We've got better clothes. We've got finer houses to live in. You people right here are rich, every one of you, compared to most people in the world. But yet most people in America are not content. I remember when we was over in Haiti. Brother Page, remember when we was over there? One day we went out and we visited this man. And this man's house was a shack. It was some poles sticking up out of the ground with some brush and wood over top of it. And there was no furniture in the house, a dirt floor, and a piece of cardboard of a cardboard box in the corner, and that was his bed. And that's all the house that man had to live in. And they kept talking about the cyclone. And they said the cyclone destroyed all these houses. That's cyclone, or what we call a tornado hurricane. And they said that it destroyed everything. And did you know they were some of those people were happy? And some of them had smiles on their faces. They were skinny as rails. But a lot of them had joy, the ones that were saved. And then I come back to America, and I see people that have money in the bank, drive nice cars, live in fine homes, and have to take pills to go to sleep, have to take pills to wake up, have to take pills to stay up. And I begin to wonder, brother, if something ain't wrong somewhere. Not many people are satisfied. They're not content. And one of the greatest secrets of life you'll ever find out is to learn to let the Lord satisfy you. And that way, if you're not rich or you don't have as much as the next guy down the road, you can be just as happy or happier than they are, because you don't get your happiness from things, you get it from God. Now the Lord said, I'm the bread of life. Now, you know, a lot of times people say, boy, that old mean Danny Castle, boy, he screams and hollers and he points his finger. Ooh, he's a grouch. But I tell you tonight, brother, I may be a grouch, but I'm a happy grouch. I live a happy life. I wouldn't trade places with nobody in this world. I've had my share of burdens. I've had some problems and stuff. But I'll tell you tonight, brother, I'm tickled to death with what God's given me. I don't deserve what he's given me. And brother, when I get to thinking about it, I could shout all over this building and run all over McDowell County just hollering, glory to God for what he's done for me. Amen? I don't believe a Christian ought to have to hang out our bottom lip and say, poor us, you know, and how miserable we are. We need to learn that little song that said, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Now people are trying thing in the world to fill an empty spot. The reason people drink liquor is because they're itching on the inside and they're wanting fulfillment. And they think, well, if I drink this liquor, it'll make me feel better. I can sleep. I can rest. And they're trying to be satisfied, but it doesn't satisfy. The reason people take drugs is to scratch that itch on the inside. The reason some men's out here chasing somebody's wife and fooling around with illicit sex, and any sex outside of holy matrimony, the way God ordained it, is immoral and wicked and rotten and filthy and low and nasty and right out of sewers. Amen? You better hear me, and you better hear me well. It's wrong. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what the movie industry says. It is nasty and it is filthy outside of God's holy ordination of marriage. Thought I'd throw that in there. All right. Now, you know what they do? They say, this will make me satisfied. And they go a whoring after somebody's wife. We used to call them whore hoppers. They don't call them that way anymore. They call them swingers. I still call them whore hoppers because they hop from one whore to another. I'll never come back. I'll get you while you're here. Now, your problem is you're brainwashed by that boob tube and you ain't stand plain preaching. I'm telling you tonight, that's what the book said, brother. The book said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what he said. That's what he said. You say, well, that offends me. Then you tell the Lord you don't like what he put in his word. Shake your fist up in heaven and say, God, that's too plain for me. God, I mean, kick the slats out of your crib and spit your pacifier out and jump up and down and see where it gets you. You can't fight God. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can satisfy you. Not a life of sin. You know what? Some people hear a preacher talk. A preacher shouldn't talk like that. Now that shows you something wrong with our generation. All preachers used to talk like that. Methodist, Presbyterian. I mean, used to, a man didn't have no rest for his soul, brother. He'd go to the Baptist church there screaming hellfire and damnation and quit his sinning there. He'd get mad and go down to the Methodist church and they'd preach hellfire and damnation there. He'd get mad and go down to the Presbyterian church, he'd hear the same thing there. And oh, that's why one of the old preachers get up one time, and I hate to tell you what he said because y'all going to get mad, but I can't help it. I'm going to tell you anyway. And somebody said the President of the United States was in the service. And they went up to him, and I believe it was old Chop Finney or one of them fellas, and they said, "Now, Mr. Finney, the President is here, and you don't want to say anything to offend him. He might give you some money. Man might be rich some." And boy, he got up there, and they said, "Now, take it easy now. Don't say anything to offend the President." Boy, he walked right out to the platform that night, and everybody thought he was going to be real defiant and talk real nice and everything. He put up his hands like this. He hollered out, "He said..." Somebody said the President was here. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if the President don't get saved, he'll go to hell. Nowadays, here's the way preachers talk nowadays. "And we see, beloved, that God, in his dealings with the children of Israel, was very lenient and loving and kind." That's the way it goes nowadays. And I tell you, folks, I try my best to take it easy, but I cannot stand that kind of stuff. I mean, if God's real and heaven's real and hell's real, how can we help feller about sin? How can we help but say repent or perish? How can we help but get excited once in a while? The book said that Jesus Christ can satisfy you. Not drugs, not immorality, not bad habits, not sin. Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And Him I proclaim unto you, whatever's wrong in your life, the Lord is the one that can fix it. You got a problem? I mean, maybe you have some major problems. Money. Most people think they've got a problem if they ain't got no money. That is a problem, but it ain't as big a problem as having a lot of it. A miser isn't much fun to live with. He sure makes a good ancestor, though. But money is something that will mess people up. Now, money's something, they're like women, man. You can't live with them, you can't live without them. And brother, it's just like, it seems like that money has a way of ruin. How many of you ever heard people say, "Boy, I'll tell you something. I ain't got it, but if I had the money, if the Lord had blessed me and I'd win one of these $1 million sweepstakes, I'd first thing I'd do is pay the church off." Have you ever heard anybody talk like that? Have you ever noticed nobody ever does pay the church off? I know you ain't won no $1 million sweepstakes, but did you know money has a way of getting a hold of people? It's like a drug or something. You finally make a little bit. Of course, I'm telling what I've read and watched from people. I mean, I don't know this from experience. But I tell you, I seem like the more people get, the more miserable they get. And that's what made a great man say, "Money has never made a man happy yet. Money can buy real happiness." And I'm telling you that so you won't sit home and watch TV and see all the rich people on TV in the Rolls Royce and Cadillacs and going to the fancy nightclubs and $500 night motel rooms and say, "Oh, I just love you like that." No, don't ever envy somebody like that. The Bible tells us that, you know, that money doesn't satisfy. You spend the first half of your life trying to get money and the last half of your life trying to keep everybody from getting it back from you. When you got a lot of money and people's nice to you, you don't know whether they're really being nice to you because they like you or trying to slip around and put their hand in your pocketbook. I mean, nobody really likes you for you, and you begin to think, well, they're just using me and people just trying to take advantage of you, and you live a miserable life. The Bible says riches make themselves wings. You ever heard that old saying, "Money talks"? The book says that in Ecclesiastes, it does. Mine talks every time I get a hold of something. It says, "Bye-bye," and that's all I ever could say. But it's gone on, brother, before you get a chance to touch it. But you know, brother, you can't hold it long enough to have a conversation. It'll talk, but if it hang around long enough, say anything. But did you know it never will satisfy you? I heard about a man that died with his hand, $2,100 bill, his fortune. He was laying there and had a heart attack and dying, he was holding on to that money and wouldn't let go of it. His life went out of his body, and one of his nephews reached over and just took that thing right out of his hand and slipped it out. I heard about another old man back years ago. People didn't keep their money in the bank. They'd keep it in a chest buried out in the barn somewhere. And this old fella had all of his riches. And boy, there he got it in his room. And he got it locked. And the kin folks out there in the den arguing about it, hoping he'd hurry up and die so they could split it. And boy, he's in there. And he's living a miserable life. And they come in there a little while later and found him dead, slumped over in his underwear, slumped over the box there, and brother, he was there dead on his money. You know what he found out? You can't take it with you, brother. You can't take it with you. You know how you're going to leave this world? In your birthday suit, brother. It is certain you brought nothing into this world, and it is certain you shall take nothing out. It never will satisfy you. It'll buy food, but not an appetite. Money will buy medicine, but it won't buy you health. It'll buy you thrills, but not peace. A man who sets his heart on money will be disappointed whether he gets it or not. In 1923, the most famous, richest men in the world met. The financial tycoons of the world met in 1923. The richest men on earth in Chicago. They were admired, and boy, for years and years, they were thought the greatest men alive. 27 years later, let me tell you what happened to them. Charles Schwab, who was the president of the steel company, died broke. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, died in sinking prison. Albert Fall, the president's cabinet, died in prison. Jesse Livermore of Wall Street was a suicide. Leon Frazier, who was a bank president, died a suicide. Ivor Craig died a suicide. All of these men died miserable, untimely, unhappy deaths because they put their trust in money instead of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having $1 million if you got it. More power to you, man. I hope the Lord will bless you with 10 million if you'll tithe and do what you're supposed to. But did you know something? Don't ever count on it to make you happy. It never will. Benjamin Franklin said, money never bought a ticket to happiness. Made a man happy yet, nor will it. Instead of filling a vacuum, it creates one. Thank God for the people who have money but still love Jesus and who will use it for His glory. He's right for whatever's wrong in your life. Secondly, a lot of people these days try to be happy with trips and hobbies and pastimes. Pastime. You know, the Bible tells you how to pass your time. You say, well, I just do this for a pastime. You know what the book said? Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Ain't that the Bible? Well, it tells you how to pass time. You fearing God, walking in the commandment of the Lord. And you know, nowadays, the big things nowadays is getaways, trips, hobbies, vacation. And it seems like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I go down there in Florida and preach, and everybody wants to come up here. I preach around up here, everybody wants to go to Florida. I told you before, I'm on my way to Asheville, and there stands an old boy hitchhiking. I pick him up, and he's about half in the twilight zone, you know. And he's carrying a big old pack on his back, and ain't had a bath in a week, and been living off cheese crackers and under interstate bridges. Man, ain't he happy. He's free, you know. Free from the rotten establishment and don't have to work for a living. What do you mean the man don't have to work for a living swimming under interstate bridges, carrying 100 pounds on your back 20 hours a day, eating peanut butter? You know what them hippies do, man? They go buy a bunch of dog food and they ain't got no dog. Really? Really? You know what they do? They're going to order a hot cup of water in a restaurant and get the ketchup and pour it in there and stir it up and get crackers off a salad bar so they have tomato soup. Giving you some good ideas, ain't I? Did you know, brother, that that kind of don't make a man happy. And I get him in there, and I say, how's it going? He said, wow, man, cool, man, what's happening? I said, wait a minute, wait, where are you going? He says, I'm going out west. I'm going to California. And I say, well, where are you going to California? He said, well, I'm going out there where they grow good stuff. And I'm going to smoke dope and get high. I'm going to do that. These crazy hicks here in North Carolina, I don't know what life's all about. Get me some chicks out in Los Angeles. And I'm going to hit the beach and the night spots. And I'm new. That sounds real good, don't it? On the back, I pick up another hitchhiker. Get in. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to the mountains. Where are you from? I'm from L.A. First, I thought he meant Lower Altipas. But it's Los Angeles. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm from Los Angeles. He said, I don't want to live a... Man, them cuckoo out there. I'm going back to nature, man. Get back here in the mountains where I can find myself. You know, and do this and that. Now, here's one guy leaving North Carolina going to California. Here's the guy going from California to North Carolina. And they're both hunting the same thing. He's done found out it ain't in the mountains. He's done found out it ain't on the beach. That's why you have so many young people these days trying to find their self. God says one time, I said, well, why are you going down there to Atlanta? He said, well, I just ain't found myself. I said, right there you are. What do you mean find yourself? You ain't in Atlanta. I can tell you that. You're sitting right here beside me. And but you know what they mean. You know what they mean when they say that, don't you? You mean they find their true identity and they're looking to find what they really want out of life. Whether what all they need is the Lord. You know, brother, I went in that rat race for 18 years. I thought if I had a motorcycle, I could be cool. I rode up and down Interstate 40 on a Honda over back. I took my girlfriend to the Moose Lodge. And, boy, we'd lay around and ride a motorcycle home, sit down on that thing, burn your legs. And boy, scream, you know, have on shorts and ride all over the road. And I'd drive my MGM down. I'd get out and throw bottles and bust in things, break people's house or something, act a fool half a night. And I'd go home at night. I never was satisfied. I never was satisfied. Deep down inside, when I would lay down at night, there would be an empty spot so big inside me. I'd just be crying out. I'd say, there's got to be more life. There's got to be. Thank God, bless your soul tonight. I cashed in one night at Nebo Baptist Church. I found out what the secret is. I found the Lord. And brother, I found out where milk and honey come from. It comes from the Lord God in heaven. And I ain't never been looking for happiness yet. That's been 14 years ago, and my mind's been one track ever since. I say, I done found the secret. The secret is a right relationship between you and God. Not just going to church. Getting with it, brother. Getting in touch with Him. Getting out in the woods somewhere, and God visits you and come down and change you. That's the secret of life. The happiest people in this world are not people running all over the country hunting happiness. Happiness is trying to catch a greased pig. I've given the illustration before and it just hit my mind again, so I reckon the Lord wants me to say it again. For 18 years of my life, I went after happiness. And I said, where is it? I know where it's at. It's in that basketball. And I grabbed it. And I said, well, I got it. I got it. Am I happy? I ain't happy. And it went, poof. It just squeezed out of my hands. And I went looking for it again. There it is. And right about the time I'd grab it, it oozed out like trying to catch a fish. And right about the time I'd find it again, it oozed out like trying to catch a fish. And finally, one day, I gave up. I said, fooey on it. Can't be happy. I've tried to be happy all these times. God, I'm at the end of my rope. Will you help me? I don't care if I'm ever happy or not. Who cares? Lord, just take me to heaven when I die. And I want to live for you and serve you. I'm tired of living my own life. God, I just want to walk with you. And in a few days, I started feeling wonderful. God, I just want to walk with you. I said, glory to God. Who is this with me all the time? And somebody said, I'm happiness. And I said, where you been all these years, man? I've been looking for you all my life. And they said, he said, I just kind of ride along with them that serve Jesus.
I said, "Woo! Come on, let's go." And as long as I keep my eyes on the Lord, happiness rides with me. And what happens to a lot of Christians? They start saying, "Ooh, I like you, happiness. I love you, happiness. Happiness. I'm going to embrace you and keep you, and I ain't never going to let you go," and all that. And then they wake up one morning and he's gone. You know why? They quit looking at the Lord and started looking at their happiness. And I said, "Where do you go? Where do you go? I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my friends. I'll get me some dope. I'll drink me some liquor." And they panic and go back out into sin. And then one day they come to the end of the rope. And they say, "God, I'm a failure. God, I got saved and I used to be a happy thing. And then I backslid and I thought I'd be happy if I went after them sins of the flesh and everything. Now, God, I'm miserable again. God, I don't care if I'm ever happy again in my life. If you'll just take me back, I just want to serve you and live for you. I've been burnt long enough." And about 3 days later, happiness slips right up beside them again. "Where you been all this time? What happened to you?" He said, "As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, I'm with you." And therein lies the secret of life, young people. Nobody is happy trying to be happy. Happiness is something that just slips up beside you in the course of God's will for your life. "I don't know why God was so gracious to me to let me find His will. I'm certain, as far as I know, by the grace of God, I'm in His will. Buddy, I wouldn't trade places with nobody in this world. Because if I was in anybody else's shoes in here tonight, I wouldn't be in God's will. I want to be in God's will. I don't want to have to worry about being happy. I want to serve God. Happiness will come." One of the gods of America, the others, of course, we already mentioned. Education will not solve your problems. There'll be a time in your life when only God can solve your problems. We have made a God out of education in America. I'm not condemning education. I'm condemning education without salvation. Education without salvation is damnation. And the hardest people in the world to reach are educated hypocrites and atheists and wicked people. They're educated out of their faith in God. And it ruins them without the Lord. Education's a wonderful thing if you put God first. It's just like money can be a wonderful thing if you put God first. If not, it'll be your ruin. It'll ruin you. You heard me tell that story about them way down yonder. The old colored folks used to drive the ferry boat across the river. And a big white educated man went down there. And he sat down and said, "Take me the other side of the river." And so the man started rowing the ferry boat across the water. And on the course of across that water, the fella told the old black fella, he said, "Begin to talk about science." He said, "You know anything about scientific process in America?" And this time he started naming off this scientific formula and that scientific formula. And the old fellow said, "No, sir, boss. Me don't know nothing about no science. I don't have no much education. I don't know nothing about no science." And the old man looked at him and he said, "Man, you nut. You done lost half of your life. You missed half of your life. Don't know anything about science programs." And then he started talking about history. And he quoted this history book and that history. He said, "You know anything about history?" "No, sir, boss. Me don't know nothing about no history book. Me don't have no education. Don't know nothing about no history book." He said, "Man, you poor man, you've done missed half your life. Don't know nothing about no history book." And a few minutes later, he began to talk to him about math and algebra and geometry. And he said, "This equation and that problem, the square root of this and that and the other." He said, "No, sir, boss. Me don't know nothing about no math." He said, "Man, you've done missed half your life. Don't know nothing about science. Don't know nothing about math. Don't know nothing about history. You missed half your life, brother. Don't even know nothing about these things. Can't talk to you." And a little while later, the old black fellow looked at him and he said, "Boss, can you swim?" He said, well, no, I've been in school all my life, never did learn how. He said, well, you done stalled your life because this here boat's going to the bottom. And what he was telling that guy was, I don't care how much math you know, big boy. I don't care if you can quote history books backwards or know the encyclopedias by heart. If you can't swim, you done missed your life. And I want to tell you something here tonight. I don't care how many degrees you've got. I don't care if a man's got enough degrees behind his name to pop a thermometer, brother. If he don't know the Lord, he's missed it all. Education is not the answer. Next, number four is alcohol. I get mad when I talk about this. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that couldn't get mad talking about alcohol. Y'all know it's just as rotten and nasty now as it was 3 years ago when they voted it in, don't you? It ain't changed. God's feelings ain't changed. He still does not approve of it. It'll ruin your health. It'll kill your brain cells. It'll break up your home. It'll make paupers out of your children. It'll wind you up in hell. Alcohol will not satisfy a man. Whether you talk about crack and cocaine and drug program, this and that, and I'm all for that, but it sounds rather hypocritical to me to put all these commercials on TV and say no to this and drug and that, and brother, then turn right around and have the football players drinking beer, Miller Lowlife and Bud Dumber, right on TV, right in front of our kids, and make it look like it's good. Alcohol is the number one drug killer in America tonight. It's 100 times worse than marijuana or cocaine. Amen? I can prove what I'm saying. The funeral of the young man I just preached this evening, alcohol killed him. And every person who puts their approval on the alcoholic industry supports it and is partaker of the death of the young people on the highways. You, when something like that happens, and I don't even know the person involved or anything, I'm not blaming anybody, I'm blaming the alcohol. That's just one out of thousands taking place. Let me tell you, young people, alcohol won't satisfy. You know why you take your first drink? To prove that you can do it and just to see what it feels like. I know what somebody thinks, oh, well, Brother Danny, I'm not hooked on it. I can take it or leave. Man that says that will take it every chance he gets. Well, Brother Danny, I'm not really an alcoholic. I just have a little toddy for the body every now and then. I know a man right now that claims he ain't an alcoholic, but he has to have it every day. If you get mad if you can't have your beer, and you get mad if it don't work out to where you can afford to keep your ice box full of, you are an alcoholic. And God can't help you till you admit it, that you've got a problem. And I said that to say this, brother. It will not satisfy. Drugs, number 6 or 5. Drugs are like a grasshopper. You can jump way up, but you've always got to come back down. It's horrible. Thousands of kids dying on LSD trips. Crack. Cocaine. Let me tell all you young people something. When the cool cats come down the hall, they start talking about their smoke some dope. We got high and we're going to get some beer and everything. Don't be impressed by that bunch of nuts. Plant your feet firm. They ain't got no right to ruin your life. You don't have to do nothing, just please them. How many of you kids sitting right here tonight didn't drink no liquor this past weekend? Stand up. Amen. Well, that's a blessing, ain't it? Y'all can be seated. I mean, hang with it, kids. Stand your ground. Them people trying to get you to drink, they're going to ruin your life. Them people trying to get you, they're not your friends. You say, well, they're going to take me out here and just give me an A.O. Don't you know they're setting a trap? They ain't always going to give it to you. You'll pay through the nose before you get through. You ought to care more about yourself. You ought to say, now listen, no sir, buddy. I want to be your friend and everything, but that's a full ruin me. I've got plans for the future. I want to grow up and have a family. I want to be a decent citizen. God, that'll ruin your brain cells, man. It'll kill you. It'll impair your judgment. It's bad. Thousands are in prison. I went to school with a boy. When I went to school with him, he was a few grades ahead of me, and he was smart. He had potential. He could have been a bank president. He could have been a lawyer. He could have been a rich man today. You know where he is? He is in a drug home and can't even carry on a conversation. He's a vegetable. Can't even tell you his name. Last heard. He's like slobbering. Somebody have to feed him. That ain't funny. That's what happens to kids who think rock and roll singers and stuff are cool and, oh boy, I just love them. That's what happens to kids that think like that. They're not playing games. It's a real warfare. And they're dying by the thousand. The next thing is relationships, and I'm just going to give you these two and close because I'm... got to get some other things done. Relationships. Boyfriend. Girlfriend. A new boyfriend. A new girlfriend. If I just had a boyfriend. If I just had a girlfriend. It ain't going to satisfy you. I can tell you that. Everybody's looking at one true love to sweep them off their feet. And they'll be happy forever. And especially you girls, you got this Cinderella complex. Really, that's your problem. And you think some beautiful, handsome, young, dashing, strong young fella's going to come by and shoo, and everything's going to be wonderful. You're getting ready to get let down. Because your little knight in shining armor's breath going to stink the next morning after you're marrying. Say, why you say that? He's human. And he ain't going to satisfy you. The Lord's going to have to. I know, you know, when a girl first falls in love, and boy, they're kind of like they're on a trip. They're spaced out. So when some of these young preachers fall in love, they ain't worth a dime till they've been married about a year. Like they're on drugs, brother. They ain't fit to shoot. Boy, before they found little sweetie pie, amen, preach it, glory to God, brother. And then all of a sudden, I mean, all you gotta do is go, ding, they're gone. It won't last long. That thrill a while, I mean, you know, after you've been married for a while, you're gonna get used to it. Then where are you going to get your happiness? You know what we're going to do then? Leave them, go find another and make you feel like that did? Did you know why that's why those Hollywood movie stars' marriages don't work out? Because they think that'll satisfy them. And when the thrill wears off, they think, well, I fell out of. They're dumb. They think love's something you trip and fall into, and then you get out of it, you trip and fall. Man, them poor people don't know what's going on. You've got to get satisfaction from Jesus, the bread of life. Then get these other things in order. That's why they come out with a song. You know, the same singers now. Dolly Porter or something. Oh, it's how wonderful. You've met the need in my life. I love you. And all stuff. 2 years later, you let me down. You wasn't what I thought you were. And you're whining through their nasal passages and telling you how pitiful you are. And she's got my ring and you've got my heart. And you left me alone sleeping single in a triple double wide. All that, you know, and all. Brother, they're crazy, man. They're cuckoo. Boy, if you just get out there and just get down and open this old book and say, dear God, I believe what you said. You're the bread of life. God, satisfy me. God, fill that longing in my soul. And boy, just trust Him. You could come back and be satisfied with that, a tent or a hut. Why should I care? And boy, you could love old Maybell again just like you used to, or old John just like you used to be, and fall in love again, brother, and serve God together. Okay, the last one is religion. You know, religion ain't much without the Lord. Some of the most pitiful, miserable people in the world are religious people. They got enough religion to make them miserable. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for religious people that don't have the Lord. My soul, how pitiful. Cults produce slavery instead of freedom. Religion is man doing something for God. Salvation is God doing something for man. Big difference. If you just got religion here tonight, you can't be happy.
You know, I don't know what you're talking about. I've been going to church for years and I ain't never felt that. You know why? You just got religion.
Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Let's bow our heads. Well, I'll just give you a few scattered thoughts tonight. There might be somebody that, well, I thought it was going to be this way and I thought I'd be happy and come find out I'm miserable and me and my boyfriend fuss all the time, and me and my wife, ever since we got married, it's just been trouble. And I thought I was going to be happy when I got that new job and make that money and all, but now I'm into it with my boss man, and they're threatening to fire me, and I'm afraid this is going to happen. Why don't you just admit it? Nothing ain't going to make you happy till you get right with the Lord. We're going to pray. Give a quick invitation. Father, please do what ought to be done. There might be, Lord, somebody here tonight. Maybe they couldn't understand what I was saying. Maybe it really offended them. Maybe it hurt them, Lord. I hope it didn't. But if it did, Lord, help them to understand why. And help them and bind them up tonight. Oh, God, do it, dear Lord, I pray. And if there's somebody here who's spending their whole life hunting happiness, help them to fall on their knees tonight. Say, oh God, I've got everything else except you. And now I want you to fill my life. In Jesus' name we pray. While heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, would there be somebody here tonight to say, preacher, the message was for me. God has spoken to my heart. And I've tried to be happy with other things beside the Lord. Deep, deep, deep down inside, I know you're telling the truth. I'll never be happy till I really just get about it and start trying to serve God. I want the church to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand, let us pray for you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. I see you. God bless you. Hand going up all over the building tonight. We're not going to come to you. You're embarrassed. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Anyone else, God bless you. I appreciate that. You can put them down. Anyone else? Say, preacher, I know that I'll never really be happy until I've got what you was talking about tonight. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Slip up your hand. Take it right back. Be honest now. Be honest. Be honest. We just slip up that hand, take it right back down. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? We're going to give an invitation tonight. If you need to come and want to come and ought to come, the altar be open for you right now. Father, please do now what ought to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender.
All to Him I freely give. Get out of your seat. Turn it all over to Him. Let's stand.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
Come on. Come on, just get out of your seat and come.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Amen, that's right. Come on. Come on to Jesus tonight. Lord, still speaking. Let's sing another verse, Brother Lewis. Come on. Come on. Get out of your seat and come. This is your chance. This is your chance to come. Get out of your seat and come right now.
At His feet I bow.
Sing it.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken.
Amen.
Jesus, take me now.
Sing.
I surrender.
Just surrender everything to Him tonight. You'll be happy. You'll be glad. You may think you can't let go, but if you will, He'll help you.